Thank you. I feel more comfortable now. Move away from that. It was a couple of weeks before Easter, so people were beginning to think of the events of the Passion and Holy Week leading up to Good Friday. And we were thinking that for ourselves, we knew the end of the story. But for the disciples who were living through it, there was a lot of uncertainty. They had a lot of questions and doubt. And we recognize that in our own lives, we have a lot of uncertainties, a lot of things we're not sure about. Particularly in this time, it just seems that everything is uncertain in our whole world, particularly in our own country. That has not got any better, has it? But now we are post-resurrection, and it's a different story. And with the rising of Christ, the doubts and uncertainties that the disciples were experiencing were swept away. He rose to new life and he defeated death. So I thought this morning it was fitting that we don't dwell on our uncertainties. We certainly have many uncertainties still in our lives. We still have questions, and it is good to have questions. But let's look at what we are really certain about. So if we were to ask people today, is there one thing that we can be certain about, what do you think it would be? One thing that we can be really certain about that we know will definitely happen. Sorry? Death, yes. We all know that we will die. Death. So everyone, whether you're a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, non-believer, whatever, Jew, this is going to be the same for all of us. But we have more than that because our faith changes it. We have so much more that we can be certain about. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter begins, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. So we can be sure and certain. We don't see it, we don't know it, we're hoping, but it's not a vain hope. Well, I hope it'll turn out. I hope it'll be a nice day tomorrow. But we will know it's a hope that is firmly fixed on our faith in Jesus. So what are the certainties that we have? Well, I think the first certainty we have is that indeed Christ rose from the dead and he is alive today. If you think back to the disciples, those first hours and days after the death of Christ, Christ rose from the dead, what were their experiences? And how did they come to have that conviction, yes, Jesus is alive? Happened in different ways for different ones of them. We have John, who, hearing the news that the tomb was empty, went rushing to the tomb where they'd laid the body. And then eventually he goes in and he sees the folded gravestone, the grave clothes lying there. Tomb empty, the clothes lying neatly there. And he believed. And then there's Mary. Oh, Mary was so distraught. First of all, Jesus had died, and now she didn't even have a place where she could go and mourn and grieve. Because so many people, when someone dies, they like to visit the grave or the place where they died. And this was denied to her, and she was absolutely distraught. But then Christ's voice comes to her, Mary. And it's in hearing the voice that she then believes. There were a group of disciples who were sitting together discussing things that had happened. And Jesus appeared to them and they believe. And Thomas, we talked about Thomas at the beginning of the month and the uncertainty, the questions he had. He missed out the first time when Jesus appeared to the disciples, but then when Jesus comes to him, he doesn't need to touch him as he said he did, sees and falls down and worship and believes. And so we read these accounts, we hear testimonies from other people, but we need to have that encounter with Christ ourselves and say, yes, I believe. It may be that he speaks to us. It may be something that convicts us that we may meet him in our hearts. But we will have the certainty in our faith that Jesus, the living Christ, he is risen and is alive today. And so that takes me on to my next certainty. Yes, Christ is alive, but we can be certain that his presence is with us today, all the time, in our everyday lives. When we think back to the disciples, they were just trying to get on with their normal lives after the death of Jesus. Yes, they were sad and they were thinking, what do we do? We had that, and it's there in their ordinariness, sitting together in a room discussing, that Jesus then comes to them in that place. We had the couple who were having to travel to a place not far away called Emmaus. They just had to get from A to B. They were just getting on with life. And they went, and Jesus draws alongside them. And then they share a simple meal with him, just ordinary, and Jesus makes himself known to them. And then we have Peter and a few of the others, and it's a bit later on, and they're trying to get back to normal life again. What is normality? Fishing. Let's go fishing again. And so they go off fishing, and Jesus comes to them there, where they're on the seashore, where they're fishing, and meets them and confronts them. And so he turns what is ordinary into extraordinary encounters with his presence. And so we know that the risen Christ is with us every day, all the time, in the mundane business of life. But then there come moments when suddenly the extraordinary breaks in and we realise, oh yes, God, you're here, you're here. It's almost as if he comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, don't forget, I'm here with you. He hasn't left you, but you were just perhaps not always aware. Maybe in a chance encounter with someone and you think, oh, that was God given. That was Christ prompting me to do that. We may see something beautiful, a beautiful sunset, or suddenly be captured by the sight of a lovely flower in someone's garden. Maybe that we have an answer to prayer. And then we think, yes, God is with us. He's been with us all along in all that we've done. We don't have to go off. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to go to on retreat, although these are important aspects of our Christian life and discipline. But as we go about our day-to-day business, he is there with us. But then the next thing we can be certain about is, yes, he's there with us all the time, and so he's going to be there with us and helping us in times of difficulties and trouble. Jesus warned the disciples before he died that they would have difficulties, there would be problems, there would be persecutions. And my goodness, didn't they face them? We read the stories of Peter being brought up before the authorities and having to explain himself, being thrown into prison. And Peter on his travels and all the hostilities that he encountered, and finally being arrested and taken off to Rome. But in those times of difficulty, Christ was with them, giving them the right words to say and giving them courage to do what was right and to speak out for him. And many of us, I know, agree with this. It's in difficult situations, in times of trouble, that we know that Christ is with us and helping us. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond. Life is really tough. And we've heard that in the testimonies we had first thing this morning from Jason, from Janet, from Teresa, and many others can verify to that and say, yes, when times have been tough, when it's been difficult, we've known that God was with us. Sometimes you're so enclosed in all the problems that you don't see it, and it's only sort of afterwards you think, wow, yes, I wasn't alone. Christ was with me. And we can be sure that if we trust and believe in Christ, he will never let us down, but is there with us during these times. Another thing we can be certain about is that the miraculous power that Jesus had when he was here on earth to do the miracles is still active today and available to us to use in his name. It was after the coming of the Holy Spirit that Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and they encountered this cripple who was begging at the door of the gate of the temple. If you remember, Peter says, I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any money or things like that. But what I do have, I give you now. In the name of Jesus, stand up and be healed. And here we have many testimonies of people who've been prayed for in Jesus' name and have been cured. And people who have prayed for others in the name of Jesus have called upon the name of the Lord and have seen the miraculous happening. And finally, we know we can be certain that, yes, we are going to die, but we will be with Christ then. He will still be with us, and that our death is not just an end of everything, but it is the birth into full eternal life with him. The first Christian martyr that we read about was Stephen, who had been speaking out for Jesus, and how the authorities were so incensed, they eventually stoned him to death. And as he was being stoned, and as he was dying, he cries out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew that Jesus was with him and that this was not the end, but he would continue to be with him in paradise. So I'll get my next bit of paper. So none of us know the time or the circumstance of our death. But for those of us who believe in Jesus, we can be certain that he will be there with us and that we will continue to be with him into eternity. And I think many of us have been very comforted when our loved ones have died, knowing that they knew where they were going, or someone facing death and saying, yes, but she knows where she's going. She's not fearful. I was reading something yesterday, talked of a nun who was on her deathbed. She was dying, and this young nun was sitting beside her, accompanying her at that time, and she looks up to this young nun and says to her, I'm so excited by heaven. Are we excited by heaven? Excited about the things we really believe will happen. It's a long time now since my father died, my dad died. But a few days before he died, he was visited by an old family friend of ours who was a minister, someone we'd known for so long. And he told us afterwards that when he was there talking with dad, dad had said to him, and he was quoting from the second book of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. And he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How wonderful to be able to say that. Or in the Good News Bible, we would read it. I mean, I think that's the King James Version, which Dad would have known by heart. In the Good News Version, we read, I am still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted. And I am sure that he is able to keep safe until that day what he has entrusted to me. And a few days, and this friend of ours, he died at the beginning of the year. And evidently he had repeated this same thing, remembering what Dad had said and sharing it. I think part of this appears in that declaration that we said with Judy. But can we have the same confidence in whom we believe and trust, not just when it comes to our time of death, but every day of our lives, that we are walking with him, certain that he is with us, certain he is risen, he is with us, he is helping us, and he will never let us go right through into eternity. Certain that he is alive, certain that he is always with us, certain that he helps us, certain that he heals, and certain that we will be with him forever. And so in response to what we've been thinking about this morning, I think it's good that we come now to share communion together, because surely this is the expression of our certainty, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But first, let us have a few moments of quiet as we think about these things and confess the times when we have lacked trust in him, the times when we have been uncertain, have doubted. Yes, it's okay to have questions, but there's certain things that we need to hold fast to all the time. So let in our hearts confess to God anything that may separate us from coming and receiving from him today.